Thank you for inviting me, Robert. So actually I've entitled my presentation The Impact of Ageing in People Living with HIV. I have some disclosures, but I'm presenting data from a number of Australian studies that people living with HIV have volunteered for, and I'd like to acknowledge their contributions and thank them for their participation as we move forward together to progress the field of ageing in people living with HIV. What am I going to cover in 15 minutes, 14 minutes and 13 seconds? Why do people living with HIV have lower life expectancy and experience greater comorbidities? Is HIV a model for accelerated or accentuated ageing? Frailty in people living with HIV? And the implications of managing HIV in the setting of multiple chronic health conditions, polypharmacy, drug interactions, costs, and quality of life, and the treatment complexities in our ARD experience, people living with HIV. And my goal at the end, the last slide, is that I think we should be moving towards person-centred care rather than what we do now. So this is a well-known graph to most people that really continues to show that there is reduced life expectancy even in the modern ART era for people living with HIV. So this is the early pre-protease inhibitors era. You can see probability of survival on this axis and age in this one. We then have the post protease inhibitor environment and the more recent, perhaps better tolerated antiretroviral environment. This data comes from Denmark. They have amazing systems where they can do this. We could not do this in Australia, unfortunately. So we know that there's reduced life expectancy. We also know that there's significant morbidity that people living with HIV are experiencing. There are lifestyle factors that contribute to this, antiretroviral toxicity that contributes to this, and we know that people living with HIV, despite having very low viral loads, less than 200 copies for undetectable, many of our assays measure down to less than 20 copies, at that level there is still persistent inflammation and chronic immune activation. And I suspect that as we get better control of smoking and some of the co-infections that people living with HIV experience, that the persistent inflammation and immune activation is driving much of this comorbidity. The serious non-AIDS events that we see are cardiovascular disease, metabolic disorders, neurocognitive deficits, liver disease, kidney disease, bone disorders, malignancies and frailty. So this is actually quite an old slide from 2009, but I think it's still very relevant today. So the other thing is that we're ageing. Everybody is ageing. I'm ageing. I'm getting really old. The Victorian estimates are that 60% of people will be over the age of 50 years by 2020. And for some reason, people talk about old age at 50. I think maybe 70 would be a good this is actually a graph that shows this progressively ageing population that we are seeing. So, of course, we are seeing much more comorbidity. So Paddy Mellon yesterday in a session showed his idea of whether HIV was a model for accelerated premature ageing or accentuated ageing. I disagree with him. Is he here? No. I didn't mean to do that. How do I go back? Right. Thank you. It's very hard, these things on this. So Does HIV cause accelerated ageing through pathways common to the ageing process, or is it an additional risk factor for a variety of chronic conditions, accentuating the prevalence of each of these conditions at each age? And I'm hoping that you'll agree with me with one slide, that it's actually accentuated rather than premature. So we know that effective antiretroviral therapy has reduced AIDS-related deaths and improved life expectancy, but this means that people can live longer to experience non-AIDS morbidity and mortality. And it's partly, some of that increase is partly due to prevalent age, but also lifestyle and demographic factors. So I would like to propose, and the epidemiologists agree with this, that what we are seeing is accentuated ageing. So although people will experience, some people will experience serious non-AIDS events at lower ages, it's just part of what we see in the general population, that some people in the general population have heart attacks at the age of 30 and 40. We just see more people having those events at the different ages, so that this is the HIV population and this is the general population prevalence. Accelerated ageing implies both, that they're occurring a lot earlier at younger ages as well as having a greater prevalence. Okay, so let's move to Australian data, the APPLE study, the Australian Positive and Peers Longevity Study, that looked at self-reports from 228 people living with HIV and 218 HIV negative, and this is really important, they were gay and bisexual men. We're comparing apples with apples instead of comparing apples with the general community oranges. Gay and bisexual men will have the same rates of hepatitis B co-infection, hepatitis C co-infection. Paddy talked yesterday about the importance of cytomegalovirus. Well, in Australia, 95% of gay and bisexual men have CMV co-infection. So it's going to be very hard to separate them, that group, out from negative people. So you can see, this is the HIV negative group, and I hope you can see these ages down here. They're the same on both sides, 55 to 60, 70 plus. HIV negative group, this dark red colour is three or more comorbidities. So at the over the age of 70, 45% have three or more comorbidities. You're HIV positive, compared to about 15% if you're HIV negative. That is despite similar rates of current smoking, but higher rates of recreational drug use and ever smoking in those that have HIV. So even at the lower age group of 55 to 59, you can see there's still double the prevalence of comorbidities. And what are those comorbidities that are significantly greater? It's diabetes, heart disease, this is the bone disease, osteoporosis, fractures, hip fracture, knee replacements, osteoarthritis, and we have diabetes, etc., over here. We looked at frailty in our population at the Alfred Hospital. A BMed Sci student a few years ago approached every patient that came into clinic consecutively over the age of 50 to participate in this study. So the headline is that 10% over the age of 50 were considered frail. And that's double what would be seen in the general population over the age of 65. Now, in this cohort at the Alfred, 30% of our patients that come to the Alfred were diagnosed with HIV and 20% started antiretroviral therapy prior to 1996. This is the group that Robert was talking about. 65% of our patients have comorbid conditions. And these were the pioneers. They contributed all the clinical trials of the new drugs as they came along. And so they carry the legacy of exposure to those early poorly tolerated antiretroviral drugs. So just quickly, how do we measure frailty? There's two frailty measures, and I'm sure that most clinicians in this room don't do this as part of their routine exam because it takes a very long time. So we actually measured grip strength with this thing. This is a dynamometer, which I said correctly. We also measured how long it took to walk 15 feet. We looked at unintentional weight loss at activity by self-report and also exhaustion using a depression scale. And as you can see at the bottom, which has moved, you get a point for each of these if you meet the criteria. And if you have three or more points, you are frail. And if you have one or two, you are pre-frail. We also use an index, which is more about a number of deficits. We included about 30 to 40 variables, and each deficit carried 1 point. So you've got a continuum of numbers. And then we divided the total number of deficits by the number of by the number of variables that we assessed. And if you were over 0.25, you were frail. And there's some examples of the deficits that we measured. So we measured by both the index and the Fried phenotype. But we got different answers according to which tool we used, which was a bit interesting. So 10 people were frail by the phenotype and 21 were frail by the index. So by the frailty index, 22% of our population were considered frail, which is really quite significant. In this population, in this study, you can see that 42% had prior AIDS illness, 36% started antiretroviral therapy prior to 1996, and 69% were exposed to those early antiretrovirals. So significant amount of functional deficit in our population at the Alfred. Now, when we looked at what was associated with frailty, you could see that the presence of four or more comorbidities, polypharmacy, serious non-AIDS events, duration of antiretroviral therapy and initiation of antiretroviral therapy prior to 1996. And when we did the multivariate analysis, it was only associated with initiating antiretroviral therapy prior to 1996. The other really important thing that we found was that frailty was significantly associated with poorer quality of life, regardless of which instrument we used. Oh, my God. The PART study. The PART study is an amazing study where 500-odd people from around Australia completed a 204-question questionnaire that took 40 to 60 minutes to complete. And these are the things that were included in the questionnaire that included disclosure, stigma, financial and employment status, health and treatment perceptions. It was very varied. We got pharmacy dispensing records, etc. 95% of participants were male, 62% were Australian born. This is really a snapshot of our patient demographics. Many had been on therapy for over 10 years and had HIV for 15 years. Watch. I have a long way to go. Okay, hurry up. Okay, I think the things that are important here are that 1/4 required financial assistance, 20% lived in subsidised housing, 40% were on social welfare. 56% had at least one comorbidity, 75% took at least one concomitant medication apart from their antiretroviral therapy, and for most of those, the median pill burden was 6 pills a day. So with the financial issues that many of them are experiencing, they're choosing, will I take my ART? Will I take my concomitant meds? Will I eat? Or will I live? So this is my last slide. So really from the PART study, I was trying to suggest that there was more than just undetectable viral load and antiretroviral treatment and adherence. That as HIV health professionals, we often just think about the physical biomedical approach. But what we need to do is we need to individualise care by identifying the priorities that the patients bring to us. We need to implement screening for geriatric conditions, look at functional ability, physical health, cognition, mental health and socioeconomic circumstances. And so we should have multidisciplinary ambulatory care visits, and we need to go beyond the HIV cascade of care and consider quality of life for our patients. So I'll stop there.